If you would, take your Bibles and open them up to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, that would be great. Thank you so much. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Every verse that I'm going to say today will also be on the screen, so you can also take a look up there if you don't happen to have a Bible or if there isn't enough pew Bibles to share in your pew. And as you turn there, you'll notice I have something in my hands. One of the things I've learned in teaching kids is it's always a good thing to use objects. Objects help me learn things. Pictures help me to understand principles better and deeper. And as I was thinking about what I would talk about today to you all, and I was praying about that, I wanted to bring in this object. This is a ruler and a yardstick, to be exact. You know, rulers, I was thinking to myself, the ruler was a very important part of my life when I was growing up. Very important part of my life. Because I was always taking a look at how I measured up to this ruler to determine some very important things for me, like whether or not I'd be able to drive my first go-kart by myself, right? I'm like, oh, I'm not there yet, you know? Or ride your first upside-down roller coaster by yourself, or ride your first fair ride by yourself. You always were worried about, man, am I there yet? Am I tall enough yet? Do I measure up? And throughout all these events in my life, when I got to do those things for the first time as I grew and as I got taller, you know what? It was very easy to make sure whether I did or not. I looked up and I stood up against the wall, and if I measured up, they'd let me in, for instance, onto the go-kart ride. But if I didn't, too bad. You're out. You're not allowed. And that was a very bad feeling when you're kept out, right? Very terrible feeling when you're kept out from those things that you're excited about doing. Well, as I grew older, I was thinking, you know what? I had rulers that I created or that others created for me in other areas of my life too. In school, report cards, that was my ruler of how I was doing with my grades, right? In sports, when you start playing sports, if you're a boy or if you're a girl, you have batting averages, you have shooting percentages. Even in Awana, we have rulers. We have certain standards that the boys or girls have to reach to be able to get certain awards. And if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us in here, each and every one of you, has rulers that you use to compare yourself against for just about every area of your life, that you use to see if you measure up, whether it be as a worker, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a student, whatever the case might be. We all have rulers. We like to do that. We like to be able to have benchmarks to see how we're doing in whatever we might be involved in. Well, it should be no surprise that this ruler-making syndrome extends to our spiritual lives as well. We like to have benchmarks. We like to have checklists to be able to evaluate how we're doing. Are we living a life that's good in God's eyes, or a life that is not good, that's bad in God's eyes? If I was to ask you today this question, I'd like you to think about how you would answer it. If I was to ask you, if you were to die today and you were standing before the throne of God, why should he allow you into heaven? What would your answer be? Many of you here today would answer that question based on some of the following items. Baptism. I was baptized. Or church attendance. I was faithful to church. Or my diligence at work. So if I've been baptized, well then God must be happy with me. I must measure up. And he should allow me into heaven and should give me eternal life. Or if I attend church regularly, well, then I must measure up to God's standard of what he expects out of me to be a good person and to be righteous, and he should give me eternal life. Or if I'm a diligent worker and I work hard, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I stick to my job faithfully, work as hard as I possibly can, well, then God should be happy with me. Well, of course, the most common ruler that we love to use to see how we are doing in our spiritual lives is other people, right? We love to compare ourselves against other people. You know what I've learned is that the best part about comparing yourself with someone else in order to determine how good you are is that you can always find someone who's a worse sinner than you are. Isn't that a great thing? It's awesome. Unfortunately, though, all these types of rulers are far too relative. God does have a standard that he measures mankind up against to determine whether they should be allowed to enter into heaven or not. But I can promise you it's not other people. That would be like me going to the go-kart track when I was a boy, and he'd tell me, well, as long as you can find someone on this premises who's shorter than you, then you're good to go. right? As long as you can find someone who's a little bit less tall than you are, then you're okay. No, God's measuring stick is much more objective. It's much more concrete. God's spiritual ruler is his word, the Bible. In the Bible, God clearly lays out the moral code that he expects man to live by in order to measure up, in order to earn eternal life. It's called the law. Now, I'm sure many of you here today have heard of the Ten Commandments. How many of you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? You know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. It's just a small portion of the many, many more commandments that God gave to Israel in Exodus. But I think if we were just to stop right there, if we were to be honest with ourselves, and we compared ourselves against this standard, the Ten Commandments, you probably would find yourself in the same position I find myself in, falling desperately short. If you're honest with yourself, and when you find yourself comparing yourself against the law, you fall short, you're not alone. The boys and girls in Awana all learned a very important verse this year in the book of Romans in chapter 3. They probably have it memorized, but if you don't, you can look at it in Romans 3. Verse 23, it's also going to be on the screen. Say it with me, kids. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible teaches us that when we look up to God's law, we're always going to find that it's above us. We can never reach up to it. It would be like going to a go-kart track as a boy that had a standard of 30 feet high to be able to enter onto the track. No matter how old I got, no matter how hard I tried, I'm never going to be that tall. I just never will, unfortunately. So I would never be allowed onto that track. And it's exactly the same way with the spiritual ruler of God's word. No matter how hard someone might try to measure up to God's law, to measure up to God's standard of righteousness, it ain't going to happen. It's always going to be above us. In verse number 19 of this same chapter, look with me if you would at that verse. It says, "Now we know that what thing soever the law saith, it saith to them who are what? Under the law." It's always above us. We're always under it. It saith to them who are under the law. That why does it do that? That how many mouths may be stopped? That every mouth may be stopped in all the world may become what before God? Guilty before God. And what does Paul go on to say in the next verse? He says this, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of what?" Sin. My friend, you and I are never going to achieve forgiveness of our sins by doing the law, doing the works of the law, because it was never meant to forgive your sins. It was meant to show you your sin. It was meant to show me my sin. That was the purpose of it. Now, this isn't good news, I'll admit, but thankfully, that's not the end of the story. I want to show you some more verses on the screen. You don't have to turn there, but they're found in Galatians chapter number 3. Starting in verse number 22, Paul says this, "But the scripture hath concluded all," what's the next two words? "Under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept," what? "Under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed." Now look at this. "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster," for what purpose? "To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Now, to help us understand this verse on the screen a little bit better, let's go back to my go-kart illustration again for a moment. When I was a little boy, I went to Go-Kart City all the time. Each and every time, I wanted to measure myself up to see if I finally met the standard to be able to drive a go-kart by myself. And over and over and over and over again, I didn't. I fell short. And because of that, I was not allowed onto the track. I had no access. There was no entrance for me there. I had no right to be there. But there was one way I could find myself onto the track. I could get myself onto a go-kart. You know how that was? Being with that man right there, my father. You see, my dad did meet the standard. My dad was tall enough to be able to be on the track. So as long as I was with him, I was okay. Well, when it comes to the law, there's only one person who's ever lived up to that standard, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfect life all the days that he walked on the earth. He never broke any of God's laws like we have. He was the only man to walk the earth who ever measured up to the standard that God had set. Yet after all the good that Christ had done, instead of choosing power and instead of choosing honor and glory like he deserved, he chose the cross. And he chose to suffer and die your death in mine, the death that I deserved. The good news is that he didn't stay in the grave. The boys and girls in Sparks, they recited a verse today from 1 Corinthians 15 where it says that Christ was, he died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He's alive. And today, Jesus is offering life to you and to everyone who puts their faith and trust in him. So now we've clearly seen that we can't measure up to the standard that God has set in his word. We just don't. There's no way to earn salvation by doing good things. It's not going to happen that way. That leaves us with only one way to be saved. Only one way to be saved. Faith. Faith in Christ is the only thing that God will accept to grant us eternal life and access into heaven. One of the verses that the boys and girls memorize in almost every club is the verse on the screen, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by what are ye saved? Grace are ye saved. Through what? Faith. And that it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And in the passage where you're at, Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says this, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. Without the deeds of the law." And finally, in Galatians 3, verse 11, it says this, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." My friend, all throughout Scripture, God is saying one thing. Stop trying to measure up to me. You can't. I'm God, you're not. Instead, believe on the one that I sent to die in your place, Jesus Christ. For until you choose to go with Christ, God can't allow you into heaven any more than I was allowed to go into the go-kart track when I didn't meet up to the standard that they set. Question I have for you is this, and I want you to think about this. Are you trusting in what you've done to make you right with God, or what Christ has done for you? The answer to that question makes all the difference in the world. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes for prayer as Pastor Rich comes up.